it's not about us. And I thank God he gave me a Christian mother. I thank God that he gave my children a Christian mother. You know, I got up this morning. It's kind of the norm. I give them the ultimatum. I'm leaving in 30 minutes. Because I get up and I get going. Of course, they laid in there for 15, and I said, I'm leaving in 10. And then Mama says, they not wearing that. Now, folks, if you paid, if your wife and your mother got paid what she's worth, you couldn't afford them. And I'll say that about mine. We're thankful for our wives and for our mothers. Amen. This morning, we're going to read scripture out of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. Don't expect to stand long this morning, but I want to share with you this thought, a mother like Hannah. We're going to read in 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and we're going to read just a few verses, and we're going to go through the scripture and just try to share with you the things that God has revealed to us here. But Hannah was one of the great mothers of the Old Testament. And if you look at the kind of mother that Hannah was, it's an example for other mothers to follow. So what kind of mother was Hannah? And as we look at the scripture, what can we learn from Hannah? 1 Samuel chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, says, there was a certain man of Ramathzelophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Anna he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? The first thing I want you to see about Hannah is her position. Hannah's position is that she was a bride. She was the wife of Elkanah. But Hannah had no children. She was barren. And any mother that has had the desire for children and has not been able to have them knows what that feels like. They know the pain. They know the desire. I believe it's a gift that God gives us children. I can remember when my wife and I first got married and we began to talk about having children. There was a man that lived across the street from us, and he was new to this country. He was a Christian, and he had a wife, and they had a child, a little girl. And I can remember seeing them outside and walking around the little yard that they had, a very small yard. And he would follow behind her any step that she would take to reach his hand out lest she fall. And as I waved at him and I just saw him across the way, and he looked up at me and he smiled. And he said, she is a gift. And any mother that's had a desire for a child and not been able to have one, they understand what that means. They understand the pain that Hannah had at this point in her life with having no children. She was a bride and she was barren, but Hannah was also belittled. You know, it's terrible, but she was in a situation that as they went every year to make sacrifice, Elkanah, the husband, he would give petitions or he would give portions to his other wife and all of her sons and all of her daughters. But unto Hannah, it said he gave a worthy portion, and it could even be interpreted a double portion because he loved her very much. But she had no children. And you even look at the scripture we read in the 8th verse, and he tries to comfort her. He says, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Well, you ladies know the answer to that is no. Because there's some things about being a mother that can only be fulfilled by being a mother. Well, here's Hannah, and she is in the front of her adversary, and her adversary belittles her. She picks at her and she mocks at her to make her feel less than she is. She gloats and flaunts herself in front of her, and every year as they go up to make the yearly sacrifice, Hannah is reminded of how she has no children. She's reminded of the fact that she is barren, and she stands before the Lord and she is broken. You know, as Christians, there are times in our lives that we go through when we're trying to do the right thing and we're belittled by those around us. Sometimes it's sad but true. It's by those that should be close to us, that should be helping us, that should be lifting us up. But we're broken. And here we see that Hannah is broken and she is grieved before the Lord. And I don't think there's anything that her husband could have said to her that really would have given her the comfort that she needed. The first thing we see is her position. The second thing I want you to see, looking at beginning in verse number 9, is I want you to see her prayer. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. So as you look at Hannah's prayer, and she comes before the Lord, she's very grieved, and she cries unto the Lord. And you know, sometimes when we come before the Lord, there the Bible even speaks of a time when we might not even have the words. But she had the words, but in her heart, in her spirit, she was so heavy. Then when she knelt at the altar, there were no words to be heard, but only her lips moved, and Eli saw. And what it means by he marked her mouth is he was able to read the words that she was saying. And he saw what the heart condition was and what the petition that she was asking of God. And the scripture says that she wept sore. And here's what she asked. To be a mother. She wanted to be a mother. And she vowed a vow unto the Lord. She said, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. Now, folks, that's a pretty strong vow and that's a pretty strong prayer. You know, many of us have had times in our life that we come before the Lord and we have a prayer that we pray and our hearts are so heavy and our hearts are so broken. But so many times the scripture says we ask not. We receive not because we ask not. And that we ask amiss that we may receive it under our lust. What does that mean? It's when we come before the Lord and we pray, it's all about us. But I believe God had a hand in Hannah's prayer because God had a plan. And here she vows this vow and she says, Lord, if you'll just give me a son, I will give him back to you. That's tough. We see her position, we see her prayer. And next in the scripture, we see her promise. Look at verse number 17. It says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Then they rose up in the morning and early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now here you see that Eli, he sees her and he marks her mouth and he knows her prayer and he speaks to her. But you remember how when he looked at her, he said, he thought she was drinking. He thought she was drunken. Now he marked her mouth and he saw the grief. But you know, there's a scripture that says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because what I want you to see here looking at this is when he saw her in the condition that she was in, she was torn. And she was heavy. And she was broken. And sometimes it's sad but true, but even a minister or even a priest or even someone that's trying to help you, they're not going to fully understand. If you go over to the 10th chapter of Daniel, there's a time when Daniel prayed before the Lord and he was in a spiritual battle. And when he was in that battle and he was down and he was praying, and the scripture said he prayed for 21 days. When he started, people were praying with him. But before it was over with, everybody was gone. When Eli realized what was going on, he says to her, the Lord grant you your petition. And here's what he's saying. A baby will come. You know, sometimes when you come before the Lord and your heart's heavy and you lay it here, here's the way to find exactly what Hannah found. Because when you read in this scripture, and she says, let thine handmaid find grace in your sight. She rose up from that altar, and I believe she washed her face. And she ate, and she went away no more sad. She didn't have that baby in her arms. All of her questions had not been answered. But something very important in our life is that the peace of God had flooded her soul. For you and I, it's very important when we come before the Lord that we know that He hears us, that He cares for us, and that He loves us. And even when we cannot see it, God's always working in our life. Even when we feel like it's our darkest hour, if you belong to Him, He has your best interest at heart. And she rises up and she washes her face because grace makes glad. You know, in the process of time, before the next yearly sacrifice, a baby came. God answered the prayer. And his name was Samuel. And the name Samuel means asked of God. And she named him this. You know, when you study the Old Testament, often, more often than not, the names have so much meaning. But she names him the name asked of God. So we see her position, we see her prayer, we see the promise. But the next thing I want you to see in this scripture is I want you to see her obedience. See, how many times has it been that we come before the Lord and it's easy to come and to cry and to pray when our hearts are heavier, when we're in need? But do we remember after God moves? If you look at this scripture in the 21st verse, it says, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she had said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now when you look at this scripture, there was a position, there's a prayer, there's a promise. But we see her obedience. She told the Lord, she said, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. Now I want to tell you something this morning, parents. God giving you children, you need to give them back to him. Amen. We need to be teaching them. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he shall go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And it also says, ye fathers, provoke your children not to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. She raised him to the age that he was weaned. She got him broke from the bottle. I got some pictures yesterday of my little grandson. First time eating prunes. She said he took one bite and got lockjaw. And I'll tell you what the time of a child being weaned is. This is usually the time that daddy is more willing to step in. Okay? Dads usually like babies when the diaper's changed and the feeding is done. It's like this, you deal with them, then I'll play with them. And my wife and I have had that conversation. She said, they like being around you because it's always fun time. You know, you bounce them, you play with them, you spin them, and then they throw up what I just fed them. But isn't that the way it is most of the time? But can you imagine as a mother being barren and having this grief and this pain in your heart, and God gives you this little son and you're holding him in your arms, but you remember what you promised God. How many times have we made a vow unto the Lord and the time comes that we know we're supposed to do what God has called us to do, but we resist? Here we find that Hannah kept her vow unto the Lord. And she took this little son that she loved, that she cared for, that was precious to her, that she nurtured and she fed. And when the time that he was of the right age, just a young child, then she comes to the yearly sacrifice. And what is she doing? She's bringing him to the house of the Lord to give him to the priest so that he could be raised in the priest's house for the service of the Lord. Deuteronomy 23:21 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. You know, when we look at her, she had reverence for her husband, but you notice several times in this scripture, although it's about Hannah, it refers back to Elkanah. Because he was the spiritual leader in that home. And if you look at the reference of the scripture, you see that. And even when he spoke to her and he told her that it was okay for her to stay home, He said, only the Lord establish his word. In other words, the Lord keep his promise and you keep your promise. Now, when we get to this point and we see this, I can just about see her as she comes before Eli the priest and she says, I'm the woman. And she takes a little child that by this time probably is just beginning to walk. And she hands him to the priest, her only son. Now, what would be the emotion that you would expect from Hannah at this point? Well, I believe if it were me, it'd be broken. I know there are several families in the church that have been involved with fostering parents, been involved with watching children for a period of time, and you get close to them, and you know how difficult it is when you have to hand them to somebody, and you don't know where they're going to be. You don't know what's going to happen to them. How difficult. What would she do? What would be going through her heart and her mind at this point? Well, I want to show you exactly. Because the next thing that you see in the life of Hannah, after her obedience, is her worship. Because when you go into 1 Samuel chapter number 2, you find something that is known as the Song of Hannah. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly, and let no arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that are full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that are hungry seize, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill, to set them from princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heaven shall he thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the end of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. She was obedient. And when she gave her only son to the priest, she broke out in a song of praise unto the Lord. And she began to praise him and glorify him and magnify him. Some important facts about the Song of Hannah is her worship came right after she had taken her son and given him to the Lord. She praised God for who he was. For he is God and he is the only God. He is the only one that is holy, and there is none as holy as the Lord. And she says the arrogant cannot stand before him. And then she comes out and she says he is in control. He is God and he does as pleases him. She says he has no equal and no power can stand against him. She gave God the glory, and then she did not make this time about herself. It would be easy to have all the attention turned to Hannah as she could have possibly walked back home with Elkanah, empty-armed, grieving. But rather, as she walked back, she is in a song and a spirit of praise, praising God for who he is and what he has done and for the privilege that he has given her of having the son. I've seen parents and mothers have children that God has put a call on their life. I've seen young people stand and say, I know that God is calling me into the ministry. And I've seen parents try to say, oh no. I've seen young people say, I know that God has called me into the mission field. And mom and dad say, you can't do that. The scripture where it says, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Basically, if you look at the structure of the verbiage, it's this. It's train them up according to their original gift or bent. In other words, God has a plan for their life, and our jobs as parents is to help them find the plan of God for their life. It's not my plan. It's not me forcing them to play ball when they don't like it. It's not me forcing them to be like me. It's about me helping them be what God wants them to be. She gave glory to God, and she did not make this time about herself. The next thing, and we've got just a couple of more minutes here, is I want you to see her motherhood. How can she be a mother when her son is off at a distance with a priest? But if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and go down to verse number 18 and 19, it gives you just a little bit of insight. It says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Now, could you imagine going to see your little boy? And there he's girded and he walks out with a priest. You've heard the term little preacher. This is it. The little priest walks out. And it says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. And when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Could you imagine every year he's 2 and it's a little coat, and he's 3 and it's just a little bit bigger, and he's 4 and it's just a little bigger, and he's 5. Could you imagine Hannah as she sat and she made that little coat and she sewed that coat? You know, we know the story of the coat of many colors which was made for Joseph by his father. But have you ever thought about how much love went into the coat that Hannah made for Samuel every year? She made that coat, and I believe the privilege and the joy of her life was when she went into where he was and she got to put it on him. It was a gift for her gift, just a little bit bigger every year. Now, folks, she was obedient, but I can just imagine the way her heart did burn for that boy. But I want to tell you something. God was not through with Hannah. God had a plan for Hannah. God had a plan for Samuel. And if you'll be obedient and serve God, there's a lesson here for us. Because the last thing and the next thing I want you to see was her blessing. If you go in this same 1 Samuel chapter 2 up to verse number 20 says, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which she lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived. And she bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So if we look at this, 3 sons and 2 daughters, in addition to Samuel. It says Samuel grew before the Lord because Samuel was to become a great prophet. And he would judge his people Israel. Now when we look at prayer, here's something, I've said this before. We have our prayer request. We have God's answer, but here's something very important to understand and to always look for, is we have the prayer, we have the answer. The next thing, and it's something to write down on your prayer wall, is how does it glorify God? See, you see the request for a son, you see the answer that God gave, and we see how that the vow being kept in obedience, it glorified God because Samuel became a great judge and a prophet of Israel. If you go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 7, In verse number 15, it says, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. See, Hannah prayed for a son. God gave her a son, but God also gave the great judge Samuel to his people. Now, if we look at this, our lessons from Hannah, then we're going to ask him to come with a song. If we look and compare, we look at our position before the Lord. You know, if you're going to come before God and you're going to pray a petition and you're going to ask him, you need to know him. The Bible tells us that we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can come before the Lord and we can ask of him, but it's difficult to communicate with a stranger. When Hannah come before the Lord, she knew him. And then our prayer is we should bring it. Every one of us have hearts that are heavy, and we have petitions that we should bring and give before the Lord. I have to. You know, the song that Sunday sang, which is an excellent song, and it talks about prayer. We all need prayer. I need prayer, and I need the prayers of others. But what about our promise from God? Now, folks, many blessings have already been given to us, many. He will hear and he will answer our prayers, but here's the points. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's later. But what we should always realize is it is always for his glory. Then we look at our obedience to God. Doesn't the scripture teach us that we should repay our vows unto the Lord? I come before him and I ask of a plea, but I'm willing to repay what belongs to God. And then our worship. There is no other that's worthy of our worship. That's why we're here in his house this morning. No other. And then our parenthood. There's a verse in Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5. It says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And then the last is our blessing from the Lord. As McKaylee sang the song, and I can truly say, I have been blessed. Have you been blessed? Amen. Amen. Hadn't God been good to us to let us have what he has? And we're going to give you a time and an opportunity. I want to ask you to rise to your feet. Our blessing from the Lord, the most important blessing, the first, is salvation. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I have no soul salvation. That means I know that I know that I know that if I die today, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm thankful that when I come to him and pray, he hears my prayers. He understands what I need, and he reaches down in his mercy and wraps his arms around me. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that's the most important prayer. But maybe somebody here just needs to realize and come up and say, God, thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for a mother. Thank you for my children. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that when I was heavy and I was grieved, you heard my prayer. As we sing, this is your opportunity if you'd like to pray. Go ahead and sing.
Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me so gently. He'd say, my child, it's so heavy, and I'm longing. Oh, my loved ones and friends I have known. Every step draws me nearer to that land.
Thankful for the love of God. Amen. Sometimes when you're in the house of the Lord, you can just feel that. And I can feel it this morning. And you know, without His Spirit, where would we be? What would we have? But it's His Holy Spirit and His love that makes us welcome. And I'm glad that everyone that's here is here this morning. We're not going to have service tonight, so I want you to take your mother and your wife and treat them good. Might be time to do a few dishes, fold a few towels or something like that. Yeah, it's okay over now and then. Thank y'all for coming this morning. Brother Billy Green, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer, please?